We live in times of where things are not very certain. You know, they say, is it on now, Claudio? Times where there's the swine flu, and times where the economy is just the troublesome times. Talk about trouble. It's just it's overwhelming. And we live in changing times. Even in this church, pastor's going away, and there's this change going on. But that shouldn't cause us to fret. That shouldn't cause us to... Because, you see, once you're in God's perfect will, see, it's God who takes care of us. This is His church. We have a faithful man of God, a pastor, but we have a God that is just so faithful, and He purchased this church with His blood. Amen. You know, I was just thinking, some trust in chariots and some are horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. It's always important to keep our eyes on the Lord in every circumstance. Now, once you turn to Lamentations today, Lamentations in the Old Testament, just right after Jeremiah, you'll find the book of Lamentations. And it's called Lamentations for a reason. It's because Jeremiah was lamenting the captivity of Judah. I want to look at that today. And I'll call this message, Therefore Have I Hope. It comes from Lamentations chapter 3. You know, I've read my Bible at least 15 times as far as I can recall. Now, that might not be exactly accurate, but as far as I can recall, I've never seen this verse before. It just jumped out at me. Amen. Lamentations chapter 3. And it says this in verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. And thing about it is, you can get into a circumstance, you can get into a situation, you can get into troubles, and the troubles begin to overwhelm you, and you can lose track of what the book says. Yeah. Amen? And you can lose track of what God's word says, and therefore you begin to cringe, you begin to fall apart. But this verse says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. From the very first chapter of Lamentations, it's dealing with a very mourning type of mood. Notice what it says in Lamentations in chapter 1, verse 1. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations, and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? And then it goes on in verse 2 and says, she weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks among all her lovers. She had none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. And verse 3 then goes on and says, Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. And thing about Lamentations is it's a very sad book, because Jeremiah, the prophet, is weeping over the children of Judah gone into captivity. And it goes on and says some words that are very repeat themselves over and over are words like affliction. Notice in verse 3, Judah's gone into captivity because of affliction. Notice in verse 4, it says, the way of Zion do mourn before none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate, her priests sigh, her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. And it gives words over and over like affliction, grievous, weepeth, and captivity. You give those words over and over again. It's a very dark picture. Amen? Very dark picture. But aren't you glad that there is a God greater than the darkest picture that you could describe in this world? There's a God that's greater than all of that. Amen? There's a faithful God. There's a true God who is just faithful. Even I was thinking of this verse. Can just hold your place there and go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter. Just the very final chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Just meditate on this verse for a while. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
You're going to need that verse one day, amen?
Yes.
You're going to need that verse. There's not a man that's ever lived that's reached the depth of that verse. It says, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. There's no trial that you can go through as a Christian. There's no valley deep enough that you can go into that God is not there with you. Amen?
Amen.
It's just not. Because one thing I realize as a Christian, the older I get in the Lord, I realize that this book is all sufficient. It's all sufficient for any need you have. Amen?
Amen.
It's all sufficient. You don't need some doctor. You don't need some pill or anything like that. You just need the book, amen. You just need a love relationship with the Lord and the book in your heart, amen. That's all you need. That's all you need. Then it gives back in Lamentation again. Then it gives a reason for the affliction, verse 8 of chapter 1. Jerusalem has grievously sinned; therefore, she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen the nakedness. Yea, she sighed and turned backwards. It goes on in verse 9. Her filthiness is in her skirt. She remember not her last end. Therefore, she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy had magnified himself. This is a dark picture of Judah, and it shows the reason for that affliction, because Israel had sinned, amen. Israel had sinned. I'm glad the Bible describes every sort of picture. It just doesn't describe the righteous man but it describes the backslider, someone who's gone back into this world. It describes that kind of a person. And then it shows the way of hope, amen.
Amen.
The way of hope. And we read also in this, it was God's judgment, verses 14 and 15. It says this, 14 and 15, the yoke of my transgression is bound by his hand. They are rated and come up upon my neck. He had made my strength to fail. The Lord had delivered me into their hand, from whom I am not able to rise up. Verse 15, the Lord had trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He had called assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord had trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. It was the Lord that did this, amen. It wasn't man, it was the Lord. You know, every circumstance, the Lord is in control of every circumstances. And he's able to bring you low, and he's able to raise you up, amen. And that's what the Lord can do. And even in a nation, the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people.
Amen.
The reason why Ireland, the reason why Europe is in the situation it's in right now, is because of one word, sin.
Yes,
that's all it is, sin. And we as Christians, as the world is, so are we. If we walk away from God, if you forget God, if you walk away from where God has put you in the local New Testament church, if you walk away from God's will, you will reap what the world is reaping right now. You will reap. And that's where a bit of fear takes hold of your heart. And you go, man, I better fear God a little, amen. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's the very beginning of wisdom. Let me give you a background here as well. The background is Judah has gone into captivity. It's about 586 BC. God ordained a prophet, though. Aren't you glad for a prophet? That God always gives a witness. God always has a man faithful who will tell you the truth. Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. In verse 4, and it says this, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of thy womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God's going to have a prophet here, and he's going to tell Israel just exactly their situation. And he's going to tell them that there is a judgment against sin. Amen?
Amen.
And it says then in verse 6, then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. I love this verse. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I love that. I love the idea not to be afraid of their faces. Hey, when you face your co-workers and they begin to come up against you and they think they have all the answers in evolution, all that kind of stuff, you just tell them, just tell forth God's word, amen. Just tell how it is, and God will be well pleased. And here it talks about Jeremiah being a prophet ordained. And it tells also that Israel had committed two evils. Chapter 2, verse 13, it talks about this. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Two reasons here why Israel found itself in, or Judah found itself in this captivity. They had left the Lord. They had forsaken the Lord, and they had created false gods. Amen? They created false gods. Two reasons. And you know, the way it was back then, it's the same way today. As Christians, man, unless you keep God's word before your eyes, unless you keep the words where you're just meditating on it, and you're just, no matter if you have a rough week or if you have a good week, you just keep God's word, and you keep yourself consistent, and you keep yourself in a pattern of where I will read God's word on a daily basis. There's not going to be a 24-hour period where I'm going to let it slip. I'm going to read God's word daily, faithfully. And when you do that, God is faithful. And you know what happens? Your heart becomes soft where you can hear the still small voice and you can understand what God is saying to you. And you know, you're not blind to what lies ahead. God tries to warn you. And it's just a wonderful thing. Just get into a pattern of reading God's word. Hey, if you were to get into a pattern of reading God's word just faithfully, day after day, you would not go through as much of the troubles as you will go through if you don't read God's word. Amen? That's just the way it is. God designs every circumstances. He knows exactly what you need. And if you are stiff-necked and you harden your neck, He's going to create more circumstances in your life. He's going to create more trials in your life where you're going to have to humble yourself one day. You're going to have to humble yourself. And the idea here is just read God's word. Just keep your heart soft where God can just speak to you and you will hear Him and then you will just be able to do what He says. He speaks in a still, small voice. And you know, you get alone with God's word, you just read God's word, and the promises of God's word become live. They become real to you all over again. And that's what happened here. Jeremiah goes into a situation, and he's burned. He sees just all the stuff going on, and he sees Judah turning time and time again, turning away from the Lord and creating false gods and just forsaking the true God of Israel. And he's grieved in his heart. Amen. He's just grieved in his heart. You know, just thinking of this as well. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. And he's known as the weeping prophet for a reason. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, please. You know, I honestly believe that you cannot have too much burden for souls in the world. You just cannot have. I believe if you knew the mind of Christ, where Christ just was, if you saw the mind of Christ, where how He saw people as souls, we would be very, very ashamed. It says in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, "Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people." You know, that's the weeping prophet. That's a man that is just connected with the people, and he prays and he seeks and the tears come because his heart is connected with those people. Amen. His heart is connected with those people, and it also he was emotionally connected to those people. Look at Lamentations chapter 2, please. Lamentations chapter 2. And I will get to my message, as Pastor Craig used to say this morning. Chapter 2, verse 11. "Mine eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughters of my people because the children of the suckling spoon in the streets of the city." And this is a picture here of a pastor, of a prophet, who's emotionally connected with his people. Amen. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Paul said in the New Testament. He said, the more I love you, the less I'm loved. But he didn't stop spending himself for that church. And that's what a faithful pastor is. Now, I'd like to just pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, please help us, I pray. Please bless this message. Lord, thank you for being so good. And please give me liberty. I ask this in Jesus' lovely conquering name. Amen. 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 You know, we as Christians, we're going to go through trials. Just mark it down. You're going to go through trials. Different manifold types of trials in your life, but you're going to go through trials. And those trials are ultimately designed by the Lord to conform you to the image of Christ. Amen. The Bible says, that I may know him, the power of the resurrection, being made conformable unto his image. And that's a life's work. Being confident of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is in work in your life, and he wants to make you what what the Bible calls is, he wants to perfect you, just be what you should be, so you can do a work for him. Amen. He isn't as a work in your life. You're going to go through persecutions. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, he says, yea, all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecutions. It doesn't say maybe, it says you will suffer persecution. But let me just say this, the persecution that we go through today is nothing compared to what they went through in 1st, 2nd Peter. Amen. When Nero was on the throne, when you could get your head cut off, when persecution was real, that was real persecution. You ought to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Just read that, what those Christians went through for the sake of this book. And you know what our affliction is? It's light affliction, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's just light affliction. So if you're going through a rough time, you think it's rough, just look at the examples of this book and you see a different picture of just what Christians went through and what they put up with because they had the Word of God. They believed God's Word, amen. And they lived it. They were real Christians. Man, I'm a wimp compared to this, some of the people in this book. I'm just a wimp. Yeah. I realize that more and more. And let me just say this as well. We're going to go through times of confusion, especially as a young Christian. You know, you're going to go through times of confusion in your life. John chapter 13, please. John chapter 13. I like the Lord gives us so many examples. And John chapter 13. You know, sometimes the Lord does stuff and you're not going to fully understand what he's doing in your life. And as a young Christian, man, sometimes you're wondering, why in the world has the Lord brought this my way? I mean, this is not helping me. This situation is not going to help me. Why? And you ask yourself, what is the purpose of this? You know, sometimes you're going through stuff and it's not for you, it's for people around you, amen? And let me just say this in John chapter 13. Jesus here, he's going to do something that's going to confuse people. In verse 5, John 13 verse 5, after he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? I mean, remember now, these people don't understand fully what Jesus is doing. They just, all they understand is he's supposed to be king of kings and lord of lords. He's supposed to be the one to reign, and yet he's taking a towel and he's girding himself and he's going to get down on his feet and he's going to begin to wash their feet. They don't fully understand it. Notice what verse 7 says. Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Isn't that good? The Lord will make a note to you later on. But what he wants you to do is trust him. Amen. Just trust him. Just keep faithful. Keep trusting. Keep looking on Jesus, the order and finisher of your faith. Amen. Just keep faithful to him. And he will get you through that trial. He will get you through that situation. Amen. You're going through times when you're battling the old man. You know, that old man never stays down, does he? He always rises up. Even if you keep yourself in God's Word. You know, we were in the men's retreat, and, you know, people were talking about anger and things like that. You know, things, when you have kids, you realize that you can blow your temper very, very quickly. And as a child of God, you have to realize, man, I have to get the victory over that, and different things like that. And sometimes in our Christian life, we deal with the old man. The old man comes back up, and he begins to get back on the throne again. And we need to be careful that we keep fighting that good fight of faith. Amen. Let me give you the greatest example of a man in the Bible, Job, who went through one of the greatest trials that I believe, besides the Lord Jesus. Job chapter 1, please. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1 deals with a situation, and there's a spiritual element here going on where the devil, or where Satan and the Lord are talking, and what's going on here. Job knows nothing what is actually going on here. All Job knows is that he gets afflicted, yeah. And he doesn't understand the spiritual side of it, but he sees the consequences of it. And it says here in verse 14, "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them." Chapter 1. And then it says, "And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, yea, and they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I am escaped alone to tell thee." And then it goes on, it talks about his wealth being taken away from him. In verse 16, it talks about his lifestyle or livestock being taken away from him. It says, "While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven." And then it goes on, verse 18, it talks about his posterity being taken away from him. "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Now put yourself in Job's picture, in the mindset of Job here. He loses everything. Job was a faithful man who feared God and eschewed evil. Amen. He was faithful. And yet he lost everything. We know the end of the story. We know what happens. But Job didn't. And all Job was, he loses everything. And it says in verse 21, and this is what true worship is here. Amen. And it said, "Naked have I came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And not alone that, but it goes on, and Job gets afflicted. Job gets all these boils from the crown of his head to all over his body. I mean, just boils, just horrible pain. He gets all this, and he is even more afflicted. And it's actually just right after he said, you know, "The Lord give it, the Lord take it away." And yet the affliction increases. Amen. The increases. And even Job's wife curses him and says, "Just say curse God and die." But the one thing I never understood about this trial before was just the depth of despair. That's what I want you to see today. Notice what it says in chapter 3, verse 21. Now, I have never been in this kind of situation. I have never. I can't even relate to this. You know what it says in chapter 3, verse 21? Verse 20. "Wherefore is life given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than hid treasures." I have never been in that situation. And it goes on, and it says in verse 23, "Why is life given unto a man whose way is hid, and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roaring are poured out like the waters." I have never been in that kind of situation, and neither have you, if you're to be totally honest. You're talking about man, and he's longing for death. He's seeking it as he would seek for gold. or hid treasure. I've never been in that situation. And yet, you know what? Job realized through the whole situation, he realized that this book is all sufficient. God's word is all sufficient. He realized that Jesus is the very lily of the valley, amen. He is right down there in the deepest, darkest, despairing moment that you have. Jesus is right there. And that's what Job realized later on. And then he realized also that God's word never fails. God's word never fails. So just go back to Lamentation now again. I want to give you four things that will never fail in the Word of God. Lamentations. Just right after Jeremiah, five chapters, Lamentations, chapter 3 again. See, it goes on to say that in chapter 3, it goes on to say, chapter 3, verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is the Lord's mercies that were not consumed, because His compassions fail not. The Lord is my portion, or they are new every morning, great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, said my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. I like that. I like the fact that you know, Israel or Judah has gone into a situation, and they're in bondage, they're in slavery. What happens is Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar comes along and he takes them captive, and what happens here is he sees those that he deeply loves. And he sees them carried away captive. It's like seeing your family carried away captive. Because he was emotionally connected to these people. And he realizes in that moment of despair, he realizes that there still is hope, amen. There still is hope. That's where we need to be today. You know, there is no reason, there's no valley that you go through that you should lose hope. Hope is something that is most important, because it restores the promises of God's word all over again. Let me give you four things that will help you with understanding just things that will never fail you. And one is His word. His word will never fail you. And verse 21 says, this I recall, therefore have I hope. His word will never fail you. It is the perfect word of God. It says in Psalms, hold your place there, go to Psalms chapter 19. You know, if the Lord is to perfect you, He needs a perfect word, amen? Psalms. And that's what you have in your hands. You have the perfect word of God. You know, our pastor might be going away for a few months, but we have the perfect word of God. We have the perfect word of God in our hands. Psalms 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk to grow thereby. I'm glad I have the perfect word of God. I'm glad that I can grow because I have the perfect word of God. And, you know, all the other versions, it's all confusion. The one thing you should settle in your life is this is the word of God.
Amen.
And just settle it once and for all. This is the living book.
Amen.
It's alive. It's powerful. I mean, we even looked at the word this morning. We looked at that word, be still. I'm glad it's not in the other word, because that's the only word that describes what that verse is talking about. Amen. Be still. So that's, you have the perfect word of God. Every word is perfect. Amen. Every word is perfect. It's the preserved word of God. Psalms chapter 12, please. Psalms chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6. And by the way, it's not man preserving it. It's God preserving it. Amen. The word of the Lord are pure words. A silver tried in a furnace. A very purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them. Amen. O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's the preserved word of God.
Amen.
God preserved it. You don't have to worry about all the stuff that goes on, about all the things that we think of. You all just believe it. Just take it at face value and believe it, amen. It will bless your life. It will bless your life. It will help you grow. It will give you the victory to conquer that old man. Bring that old man into just believe it. It's the preserved word. It's been tried and tested, amen. Yeah. It's been tried and tested. It's the pure word. Go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5, please. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Every word is pure. Not just one word, but every word. Amen. Every word matters. And when you meditate upon a verse, you realize every word is so important. Every word. And you begin to understand Scripture as you meditate on it, and you go, wow, that word is important there. That's what we do on a Sunday morning. We look at the verse and we go, wow, and we see so much more than when we meditate upon it. That's what the word is. It's a pure word. It's also what the Bible says is powerful. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I mean, you think of the atomic bomb. You think of all the different types of things that man comes up with. Well, this book here is more powerful than any of all that. Amen. And it's able to get right into that. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick. That means alive. Powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Even dividing asunder the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow. And is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, you know, nobody probably knows what I'm thinking this very, very moment right now. But God does, amen? God does. And nobody knows, say, what any other person is thinking. But when you read God's words, you know, it knows you. It knows you deeply. It knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. It knows you more than you know yourself. And when you get into God's word, it's like a sword. It cuts and it heals, amen? It's like a two-edged sword, amen? And that's what God's word do. It is powerful. It will change you. And that's what it's supposed to do. Change you. From one of my favorite verses is Colossians 2:1-13. He delivers us from power, darkness, and translating us in the kingdom of His dear Son. It will change you. It will help you. It will sustain you, amen? It says, turn to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 89. Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, the word is settled in heaven. And verse 92. Unless the law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. You know, you go into a trial, a situation, unless you have God's word, unless you believe the promises of God's word, you will collapse. There's just no two ways about it. You cannot stand on your own strength. You will fail. You've got to have God's word in your heart. You've got to have it so that it's real and you believe the promises over the trials, over the feelings, over anything that comes into your heart. Amen. Don't trust your heart. Trust the book. Amen. Trust the book. That is what real Christianity is about. That's what it means, that it will sustain you. It will sustain you in the deepest, darkest of moments. It is your comfort. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. You know, I like the way the Bible is written. They say that Isaiah has 66 books. And they say there's 39, 27 in the New. That makes 66. Well, when you read Isaiah from 1 to 39, you get a very dark picture. But when it comes to chapter 40, there's hope. There's actually comfort that comes in there. Let me just show you what I mean here. Comfort ye my people, said the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she had received of the Lord's hands double for her sins. Let me just say this. There, you know, you come to chapter 40, just the comfort comes in there. And you know, also in the New Testament, chapter 40 would be John chapter 1, where Jesus becomes the Word. Amen. And that's the comfort there. Jesus is that comforter, and the Word is that comforter. It'll clean you. In John 15, it says, now are you clean through my words, and it will strengthen you. Turn to Psalms again. Psalms 119. Psalm 119 and verse 28. My soul melted for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy words. That's where the strength is. That's where you as a Christian, you can stand up, where you can go through the trial, where nothing that befalls you is going to overwhelm you, because you have God's words. You know that, the worst case situation is that the Lord takes you home or something like that, and you know that's only going to be good at the end of the day, amen. So, and also He will lighten your path. Proverbs 4:18 says, just go to Proverbs chapter 4. I love this verse. It says, "But the path of the just is a shining light, is shining more and more unto the perfect day." He'll give you that light. Also, Psalms 36. I'm going to get sick of me saying this, but I love this verse too. Psalms 36, verse 9. "For with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." I like that verse. That means that once I'm in God's Word, and once I'm trying to be faithful, God's going to give me a little bit of light. He's going to show me a little bit of what He's going to, maybe He'll just reveal more of His will for my life. He's faithful, amen. "In thy light shall we see light." We have to give Him God's Word first to be where He can speak to you. He can give you an understanding, amen. Also, back in Lamentations, it's His mercy. You know, mercy, it says, because of His mercy, we are not consumed. And that's another thing that will not fail you. You know, every morning you wake up, God's mercy is new to you. New, fresh, all over again. It's the only way I could describe it. It's like having kids. You know, you get real upset with your kids. And you go to bed and maybe you're like saying, "Oh man, my kids are really just been a rough day with my kids." But you wake up next morning, you've forgotten everything. There's a new relationship with your kids all over again. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's just the way mercy is. God's mercy, because if God's mercy wasn't new, we'd be burnt toast. That's the way the Lord is. His mercy is new to us each day. It says in Psalms 25 verse 10, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenants and His testimonies." He is very merciful to you. And aren't you glad that mercy? You know, in Psalms 51, I just want to go to Psalms 51 very quickly. Psalms 51. You know, in your Christian life, sometimes even as a young Christian, you can blow it. You can fall into sin. Sins that you said you walked away from, and you told God that you were never going to go back into, but you could, believe it or not, you can fall back into them. The devil is a very crafty devil. He is a master, but he's not the master, amen? And the thing about it you need to understand is, he can deceive you. He is a slippery, slimy kind of guy. And think about it, by the way, I hate him.
Yep.
But
you can tell. Amen.
But I'm glad that he's not the master. I'm glad there is a God that is more in control of my circumstances. And all I have to do is yield myself to Him, and He's the faithful one to get me through the deepest of trial. And it's His mercy. In Psalm 51, David has sinned. David has made a huge blunder. And it says, notice what the very first few words of Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God." You know, that's a good place to be when it comes to God, because God will have mercy with you.
Amen.
He always has to, because He says in His words, and He will have mercy on you. And that's a wonderful place to be. You know, the Bible says a just man falls sometimes, but he gets up again. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If any man sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all." And the idea is that we can fall into some sin, but we can dust ourselves off because God is merciful every day. And every day is a new day, amen? Any man being Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's a new creature. And there's no day that I cannot go down and say, "Lord, oh Father, I wish I hadn't fallen into that kind of sin. Lord, I thought I got the victory over that. And here I am going back into it." There's no day the Lord will not forgive you.
Amen.
And He will cleanse you. He will wash you. He'll make everything brand new all over again. Amen. That's the greatness of mercy. That is the greatness of mercy. And then the thing also will not fail you is His compassions. And Lamentation says His compassions. And compassions, it means he will suffer with you. Amen? The root word is to suffer. Is a mixed passion of love and sorrow. You know, He looks at us and He loves you. He loves you deeply. And He's willing to relate to you where He will suffer with you. He will put up with you. And He wants to do a good work in your life. Amen? And it goes on and talks about His compassions fail not. And even in trouble, He has compassion on you. And you know that verse in Jude talks about having compassion, making a difference. As we as Christians, we have compassion for this lost and dying world. We need to have compassion for each other. You know, every one of us is in a different stage of growing as Christians. And we're going to rub against each other the wrong way at times. But, you know, we should be able to put up with each other, amen?
Yeah.
To suffer with, amen? Just like the Lord puts up with us, amen?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. That's what we're supposed to be. Have compassion one with another, amen?
Yeah.
As the Lord has compassion on us. Aren't you glad He has compassion?
Amen.
Man, the Lord's compassion, His mercy, and also His faithfulness. His faithfulness. You know, He is faithful even when you're not.
That's right. Thank God.
Turn to Hosea chapter 2. Just a minor prophet, Hosea. I love the book of Hosea. It talks about and gives a picture of just unfaithfulness. But even in that midst of that dark picture, God is faithful. Hosea. Hosea chapter 2, verse 5. Actually, we go back a bit, just to get the context. Verse 5. "For their mother had played the harlot, she had conceived them, had done shamefully. For she said, 'I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up the way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better for me than now.'" And verse 8, "For she did not know that I gave her corn and wine and oil and multiplied her silver and gold, which she prepared for Baal." Man, that is the, you know, I can't imagine a God who's so faithful that here Israel was, they were taking the blessings of God and they were giving them to Baal. And you think of what a faithful God we serve. A God that even Israel was polluted. Israel had played the whore. Israel had gone after other gods. Yet God was faithful.
Amen.
That kind of touches my heart a little. To think that God is so faithful to us. And you know, you see Christians, and you see people backsliding, just going back into the world. You say, man, where's your understanding? Where's your sense of love for God. You think, how could you go back into the world? How could you just go back into what you were doing previously? After seeing all the miracles in their life, Israel, when they saw all the miracles of the Red Sea, of all those different miracles, yet they went back into their old ways. And then you see the faithfulness of God. Faithful that even when Israel was deeply in their sin, He still gave them their food, their raiment. He still blessed them. And I don't understand that. You know, my kids, when they are being bold, or when they're being not doing what they're supposed to be doing, I'm daddy. I'm kind of firm. I'm going to go, you know, and that kind of thing. But you know, just realize that God is the ultimate daddy, and He's the ultimate father, and He has pity. He has a compassion, a faithfulness on His children. Go to Psalms chapter 103, please. Psalms 103. It says, "As for the heavens high," Psalm 103, verse 11. "As for the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, as far as He removed our transgression from us. Like a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitied them that fear Him." Amen. "For He knoweth our frame; He remembereth that we are dust." I'm glad for a God that is so faithful to me. Amen. Just so faithful. Even though I've let Him down thousands of times, millions of times, as I think. I have failed God so many times, that God is so faithful to me. You know, that just touches my heart a bit, where I want to love Him more. Amen. Where I want to say, I love You, Jesus, more. I love You because you're just so faithful to me. Amen. That's His faithfulness. He will never break one promise from this book, amen. He will never break one promise to you. Not even one. You know, think of all times we lead people down, or we give our word and we break it. God never does that, amen. He will never let you down. He's always on time. He's always on time. Even it might be the 11th hour, but He's always on time. The money arrives in the door or something like that, God takes care of the needs. He is faithful. He is always on time. And let me say also that He will never fail you. It says in Joshua 1:5, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. For I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." He will never fail you. He is faithful. So let me give you four things that will never fail. God's word will never fail you. God's mercy, God's compassion, God's faithfulness, it will never fail you. Hope changes everything. Have you noticed that? Just you go through the trial. And maybe for a time, there's times maybe where you're just in mourning, and a situation has happened, the rug has been pulled out of your feet, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, a situation happens, and you just feel like the ground opening up and swallowing you up. You feel like that at times. That's going to happen. But you know, you just stay faithful, and just stay walking with God, and God He's the one that restores that hope. It says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." As Christians, we always have hope. Go back to Lamentation now again. Lamentation. And we'll close with this thought. Lamentation chapter 3. Notice what it says in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 18. "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." Even a great man of God here, Jeremiah, says, "My hope is perished." It says in verse 8, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." But then he begins to remember things. It says in verse 19, "Remembering mine affliction and my misery, my wormwood and my gall, my soul had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me." Then the change comes in verse 21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Now from verse 18, it says where he has no hope, then he gets to have hope again. As Christians, we need to always know that there might be a time where we go through a valley, we go through a time where we are just in despair, where we are in bitterness of soul, where Maybe we lose someone, or maybe just something happens in our lives where just the rug is pulled out. Well, God always restores hope. He will always restore hope. Therefore, have I hope. And as Christians, just realize He's in control. You're not in control. He's in control. You just have to trust Him. You just have to trust Him through the valley. Trust Him through, as a church now, we're going through a different situation where our pastor is going to leave. We just stay faithful. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Be faithful. Look unto Jesus. Keep that vision just in one direction, the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the order and finish of our faith. Just look to Him. He's the faithful one. He's the one that will get you through the deepest. And there isn't a valley deep enough where Jesus isn't there before you. Amen. Amen.